Thanks for listening to Benefit from the Bible. We believe the Bible is God's Word for our temporal and eternal benefit. For anyone listening on an iPhone or iPad, install the free podcast app called Overcast. Then search for Benefit from the Bible. God bless your listening. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come here to this reading in Luke chapter 12, we do pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, soften our hearts, help us to understand what you're saying to us, dear Jesus, and help us to see how it applies even to our lives here tonight, and help us to know beyond any doubt that whatever your will is, it is always best for us, even when we can't quite understand it, even when we don't like it. Help us to know that we can be confident in doing whatever your word says, knowing that is always best unto your glory and even to our temporal and eternal benefit. Bless us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, when we see God as the generous giver and us as the undeserving receivers, then I believe we are on the path of thanksgiving. But if we don't quite understand that, though, about how good God is and how we deserve nothing, then we have a different perspective on it, thinking somehow I've done it, I've earned it, and taking some credit. God wants us to know the things we have, God has given them to us because he is good, not because we are good. Since God owns everything, he is the only true giver. If you don't own anything, you can't give anything. God really owns everything. The Bible says that a cattle on 1,000 hills, they belong to the Lord. So he owns everything out there. All that we have, he is even the owner of that. What about us? We are sinners. We deserve nothing good. So again, a sharp contrast between who God is and what he has versus who we are and what we have. I believe that the more we comprehend such things, the more we will express our thanksgiving to God in our giving and to others in our sharing. Going back to tonight's Old Testament reading for just a few moments, God was giving some instruction to those Old Testament believers. Here's a quick summary. They were to recognize the good land in which they were living as a gift from the Lord. I think we live in a pretty good land too. God wants us to recognize that where we live, this is a gift from the Lord. Let us be thankful. Also, too, in that Old Testament reading, they were to show their trust in the Lord by taking from the first of the land and giving it to the Lord. What's the problem with that? How could that be dangerous? When you take the first, there's no guarantee of a second. So when you take the first, you're saying, Lord, I believe that you're the one who has given the first, and I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to take that first, and I'm going to honor you with it, believing that you are the Almighty God, that you have given the first, and you're going to give a second, a third, and a fourth, and so on. But if we wait until he's given it all to us, and we take what's left, that's not showing any faith. He wants us to know that he will come through, he will keep his promises. And then, also in the Old Testament reading, they were to rejoice in all the blessings the Lord had given them. So I invite you tomorrow, or whenever you gather with family and think something about our National Day of Thanksgiving, I hope that you're gathered with a wonderful group of people in a wonderful setting with a lot of wonderful food, and I hope you can see that, wow, God is so good to us. Look at all these people, look at all this abundance, and give the thanks and praise to God. Rejoice in what he has given. God wants us to see it has come from him to us. And then in the epistle reading tonight, we heard about the connection between giving and thanking. Between giving and thanking, they go together. Since God is so good to us, let us be generous in our thanking by being generous in our giving. I hope you can see the connection between the two. I'll let you ponder that more on your own. Let's go to our gospel reading tonight. We find ourselves again in Luke chapter 12. And I think by understanding this reading and making application in our lives, I believe that God will use that to be a blessing to us. It will bring honor to him. It will be a blessing to others. It's going to be good in many ways. We begin with some misplaced expectations. Going back to verse 13, someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But basically, Jesus said, "I haven't come for that purpose." Jesus was a leader, yes, because many were following him. He did come to seek and to save the lost, but he did not come to do what that man wanted. Maybe sometimes even when we think about going to our Lord Jesus Christ or to our Heavenly Father, even now in the 21st century, we might expect certain things from them. But we have to ask ourselves, though, are the expectations we have from them, are those our own ideas, or are those expectations in agreement with God's holy word? Certainly God's able to do anything, but he wants us to look to him in ways that agree with his word and not in ways that we have come up with. Sometimes people can come up with their own ideas, and then God seems to fall short, and then they want to fault God. "What's wrong with you, God? I thought this is what you were going to do, and yet you didn't." Oftentimes, that is our own expectation that we have put upon God and not a promise that he has made to us in his word. It's good to sort that out. Going on to the second part here, we see a warning about greed. I believe he said here to the man who had the question about the inheritance, but also too, he was saying it to the entire crowd who had gathered. He said, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness." In other words, a greedy, sinful desire for possessions. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Let's be honest here. Don't we all have an inclination to want more and more and more? Is anyone here not in that category? Raise your hand. Okay, well, the more we grow in our Lord Jesus Christ, the more we grow in God's holy word, I think that will become a little bit less and less because we'll take our eyes a little bit more off of this life and put our eyes a little bit more on the life to come. So that's always a good thing, but we always have that sinful nature, and deep down, we're always kind of hoping for a little bit more. Maybe we do it this way. "God, if you only give me a little bit more, then I'll give a little bit more." We're trying to do all this bargaining with God. Well, we do want more, but God wants us to see the big picture, though. I think oftentimes in life, myself included, the focus can become the here and now. But that's such a small part of what God wants us to think about. Yes, we have life now here on earth, but we know that it's short, we know that it's temporary, we know that comes with a lot of troubles. So he wants us to step back and realize that God is much bigger than life now. God is from eternity. God created all things. God has eternity for all those who die knowing Jesus Christ as Savior. So when we see that big picture, then we're not quite so caught up in the things of this life. We know they're only a small piece of the entire puzzle. God wants us to know that most important should be our relationship with our Heavenly Father, and we can only have that relationship through our Lord Jesus Christ. That should always be number one, and then we think about our relationship with others. So as we gather possibly tomorrow with family or friends or neighbors, yes, let's be thankful for the food, but above all, let's treasure our relationship with God. And second, let's treasure the relationship with the people that God sends to be around us there, to have fellowship with, to share with, to encourage, to love, and so on. These things are far more important than the temporal things of this life. God wants us to know that when we know Jesus Christ, what does that mean? That means not only that Jesus is our Savior, we have the forgiveness of sins and the promise of heaven, but it also means that the Almighty God, he is our Heavenly Father. So should we ever be concerned about not having what we need in this life? No way. We know a good earthly father will do whatever he can to provide for his children. But of course, he has limited means. Also, he's a sinful human being. How much more will our heavenly Father, who is holy, who is almighty in power, how much more will he provide for us? We should never have a thought about what we need. We should know that in Jesus Christ, with him as our Savior, God as our Father, we're always going to have what we need. God is saying, do not fear, do not worry. And then we come to some lessons about thanksgiving. So we come to the parable now, and Jesus said, the land of a rich man produced plentifully. So isn't that how it goes sometimes? The rich seem to get richer. So why couldn't the guy with a lot maybe not have the best harvest, and the ones who are really struggling, they needed the greater harvest? But that's not quite how life works, is it? So we see that the land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, what shall I do, for I have nowhere to store my crops? So God had given this rich man a great blessing. He already had much, and now he has much more. And what a problem. He has so much, he can't even store it. What is the problem, though? I'm seeing three problems with what Jesus said there. First of all, the man did not acknowledge the Lord as the giver of this abundance. Second, he did not thank the Lord for the abundance he had given by taking some of the first of that abundance and giving it back to the Lord. And then third, he did not think about sharing that abundance with others that maybe were in his neighborhood or his community who were hurting. So very sad that he was only focusing on me. May God help us to learn a lesson here, of course, not to do what this man did, but rather to do the opposite, to be the people he wants us to be the opposite by honoring the Lord, by giving it according to what he has given to us, by recognizing those who are in need and sharing with them, realizing that even if we took all that we had and gave it away, are we going to be without or not? Because we have our Almighty God as our Heavenly Father, and he will provide whatever we need. And then it goes on to say in verse 18, so the man who had the great abundance, he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. So it's kind of like mine, mine, mine. So the man's life and goods, they were from God. God is the only true giver. But the man had no acknowledgement of God in his life. So what did the man do instead? He made his plans to deal with his stuff for his benefit. So again, it was all about him. Do we have those same kinds of temptations? Sure, I think they all come our way. Maybe not quite like this man in the parable, but in various ways, we tend to want to satisfy ourselves first. We can all fall into that a little bit. We can also dive headfirst into that. But God wants us to know that a proper order would be to always honor the Lord first with what we receive before we begin to take care of what we need and also share with others. So in verse 19, here's the man reasoning it out now, and it says, and I will say to my soul, so the man's talking to himself, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. Now, if we were the true masters of our lives, if there was no God and we were in control, and this man somehow did the right planting and the right plowing and everything right, and it all turned out, and he had the abundant harvest, and there was no God, well, sure, go ahead, tear down your barns, build bigger ones, eat, drink, and be merry. However, though, that is not true. I think about this passage in James chapter 4, and this is a good one for us to keep in mind, because what is this man doing here? He's focusing too much on the here and now, and he's kind of thinking that's all there is, and he's forgetting how short and how fragile human life is. Think about these words in James chapter 4. He wrote, you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. God wants us to know that's true of us. Every time I quote that verse, I can't help but being taken back to the day when I memorized it back in, can't quite tell you the year, probably around 1989 or 1990. But I know I was traveling from the Detroit area back to the Cleveland area. And for some reason, I picked that verse and I was going to memorize it. And up until that point, for the last couple of years prior to that, my life had some order to it like it had never had before, where I kind of knew what I was going to be doing day by day during the week. Normally, I never knew what was going on even the next day. That's how most of my life was. But now, I had some order to it. I kind of thought I had it all figured out. So here I am, traveling back, memorizing that verse, not really thinking how it applied to me, but for some reason, though, God led me to memorize it. As soon as I got back into the Cleveland area and went into where I worked and took a look at the board there, and I realized that the man just ahead of me in seniority had signed this paper indicating that he wanted the job that I had, because this was the very last day for anyone to sign up, and no one had signed up. And I thought, oh, now I know my life is going to be in order now in a certain way for at least two more years. And right like at the 11th hour, he signed it. And boy, that just turned my life upside down. But I never saw it coming, though. But God wants us to know that our life is like a vapor. We don't know what's coming. So should we get all wrapped up in the here and now? We shouldn't, because it's so short, it's so fleeting. But rather, we should go in a different direction. So God is the one who begins our lives. God is the one who sustains our lives. God is the one who knows the end of our lives. So what should we do? We should trust him. We should thank him. We should praise him. We should serve him. We should obey him. These are right ways to respond to the Almighty God. And then finally, in our text, picking up in verse 20, it says, "But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' And then Jesus said, 'So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" So, again, it's a great temptation to be that way, but I think God wants us to see it like this. If we have riches here and we focus on them, I think we're going to find out that they're really not all they're cracked up to be. Sure, we might have this stuff, but it really doesn't bring true peace and contentment. And the problem is, when eternity comes, it's going to be really sad. But when we have that relationship with God in first place, then we can be a complete peace about eternity, and we can also enjoy all the things that God has given us here with a right perspective on life. Think about these words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 6. He said, this is part of the Sermon on the Mount, he said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Having a lot of stuff sounds kind of nice, doesn't it? But if Christ is not at the center of our lives, I believe that life will be hollow now and sad forever. Therefore, may God help us to see him as the only true giver. May God help us to express our thanks with our giving. And may God help us to see those who are in need and share what we have with them. And all God's people said, Amen. Thanks for listening. If you are searching for a church, attend with us at Bethlehem. We are located at 7500 State Road in Parma. This is our Sunday schedule: service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45. During Advent, this is our Wednesday schedule: services at 11 and 7, free meals at noon and 6. For many other ways to benefit from the Bible, visit our website,
bethlehemlutheranchurchparma.com. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.